This is Talk Radio, the 1998 KPMG Commercial Radio Station of the Year.
Yes.
People of Earth, your attention, please. The following broadcast may contain material which, frankly, you might not like much. And some of it will probably even be taking the piss out of yours truly. So, if you'd like to complain, write to me. And I'll strike down upon the little with great vengeance and furious anger. And no mistake.
What? Oh, hello.
Hello.
Hello, Nick.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello. Hello, Richard.
Hello, how are you?
For the purposes of this phone call, may I call you Dick?
No.
I'm going to look myself up. I'm going to look up myself.
What?
Are you driving?
I could rev my engine for you so you could hear it, if you like. Listen. Can you hear that?
Okay, can we pinpoint this person's position? If there are mobile police in the area, I want him breathalyzed immediately. Valerie, do you have a drinking problem?
No, I've got an omelette on the go.
Is that an answer to my question? Jesus' mum is only coming at this last one more time. Why only one more time? What, is she busy? She has, like, a schedule?
Well, she's got Christmas coming up, hasn't she?
Oh, that's right, yes.
I do wear size 12 shoes, though.
Size 12 shoes, and you're only 3'6". That's incredible. Nick Abbott. He'd be like a Weeble. You remember Weebles, don't you, Kev? I think they were modelled on you. Weebles wobble, but they don't fall down. Completely bulbous in shape.
I fall down, though.
Well, you should sue the landlord that gave you the thing that made you fall down in the first place. Because that makes sense, innit? Or not, as the case may be. We're catching the American disease where nothing that we do is actually our fault. Oh, it was the landlord's fault. Oh, no, it was my parents' fault that I went out and, murdered 100 people. Because they were beastly to me and didn't buy me an Action Man when I asked for it. Damn it. How dare they do that? They've sent me on the road to rack and ruin. Have you ever been to rack and ruin?
A lovely part of the world.
It is quite a lovely part of the world, as a matter of fact. It's in España, innit? Well, what the hell's up with this?
I don't know.
Can we hear this?
I can sort of vaguely hear it.
Is this one of these things that we can't hear in the studio, but they can hear on the radio?
No, I don't think so.
On the radio?
I can hear that, all right.
Yeah. I know. Of all the tracks in all the world that we could hear, that's the one we had to hear, damn it. No, it's not in Holland. It's kind of, it's either Spain or some sort of South American place. Aha, caramba. Kev, I'd like you to get your castanets out. Would you mind?
Okay.
I don't know, we're playing too much damn music on this show. It's not a music show, it's a talk show.
But it was Tito Puente.
Puente, Fifi, Oye, como va? You remember that, don't you, Natch?
Kind of.
What did he say?
He said, talk radio.
Should we take our first call, or should we just...
go down the pub.
No, we can't go down the pub because of the legal implications of doing that. Because some nasty man behind the bar might serve us some booze.
But he's supposed to, isn't he?
And you know the thing about me and booze.
I've got a drinking problem.
That's right. In fact, we don't need to go down a pub.
I've got tons of booze in my house.
I can't believe she said that on the radio. So it's 0500-1053-89. It is a freak all. The fax number and the email is something that we don't really care about right now because Kev never gives me the faxes or the emails that we get on this show.
No,
do you? You useless great gonk.
Ask me about the faxes and the emails, but we always forget to do them. So it's not entirely my fault.
This is like doing a show in a prison here. You go through all of my mail before you give it to me.
No, I don't.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing is, whenever I give you something and you say, why didn't you read this first? Because it's got the word in it. So, you know, I'm just looking after you.
Which word?
You know, that word.
Which one? People are sending faxes with language in it.
That's f***ing typical.
Here's one in County Tyrone. Hello, Tommy.
Hiya, Nick. I understand you're not a great football fan. However, my point is...
Why did you understand that? Who told you that?
I've listened to you in the past, and you said you don't have much time for football.
No, you must have been listening to another show, Tommy.
No, was you?
No. This is another one of these occasions where somebody calls in and says, oh, you know what you said yesterday, that, you know, all black people are criminals? And I'm like, what? No. Yeah, you said it yesterday, all black, just after you said that all Jewish people should be killed. And no, I'm like, what the hell are you talking about?
You made the point that you couldn't understand the game, why people would run around a field following a ball.
Which radio show are you listening to, Tommy?
To your own, Nick. However, as an introductory, if you like.
Good introduction.
The finance point. The point of Glenn Hoddle receiving a 40% increase on top of a quarter of a million.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I think a lot of the football fans will think that's crazy, where his job is man management, and to man manage and motivate, he certainly failed on that.
Who would have that job? It's worth the money just to have the job as the England coach. Who would, in their right minds, have that job?
Well, someone who the
players... I don't know, let's go and ask Eileen. Maybe she can tell us. Mrs. Drury.
Someone who the players would want to be willing to play for. I think last night's performance was a public demonstration that they do not want to play for Glenn Hoddle.
Oh, don't be so daft. They're out there on the pitch. They're not thinking about Glenn sitting on the bench. They're just out there trying to do their best so they won't get ripped off by the press the next day. They're actually sort of having in a huddle and saying, oh, well, we're not going to actually try too hard, and we'll show up Glenn. Don't be daft, Tommy.
The game was won in the first half last night. In the second half, you had a park football performance where the English team knew they had won the game, and they said, let's let Glenn have one here.
Okay, well, if Glenn wasn't in charge of the team,
mm-hmm.
would there be dramatic changes in the lineup actually on the pitch? No, not really.
Yes, I think it would.
No, not really. We'd have the same people up front. We'd have more or less the same. It wouldn't be that dramatic a difference.
But the job is man management and motivation.
How much motivation does a 20-some-year-old need that he's earning... What, £20,000 a week? He's got his endorsements coming in for his boots and his shirts and his hair gel and every other kind of thing that you could possibly think of. He's getting free Jaguars. He's getting free everything. Basically, free everything. Which, this is a bizarre thing about money. The more you got, the more free stuff comes your way. I mean, how much more motivation do they need that they're playing for their country? You don't need somebody standing there in the dressing room saying, now, come on, chaps, remember that you're doing this for England. Don't make no difference who the coach is. They're still the same leaden-footed players out there on the pitch. If Glenn wasn't there, if Glenn wasn't actually sitting on a bench or having a chat with them through his medium at half-time, do you think that the result would have been any different? Of course not. Why would it? Is he like, has he got strings on them and he's making them dance like puppets? You're just talking daft, Tommy. And like I said before, anybody that's in that job has got to be insane. Eileen should do a job on Glenn. Because it's just constant grief. You could never, ever win. Even if you won everything, they'd still pick holes. And, well, he shouldn't have picked that guy. He should have picked some other bloke. And if it wasn't that, if they won everything and they picked all the players at the tabloid press to think that they'd get him for his hairstyle, or the fact that he's got a round face, or his wife's ugly, or something, you know, they're always going to pick a hole in him, because that's what we do in this country. With people that are famous, for whatever reason, not actually for whatever reason, but people who we build them up in order to knock them down, and we are almost unique in that respect. Americans build people up to build them up, and up and up and up they go. They're not all hanging desperately waiting for the latest star to make a fall like we are in this country. You know, all these rat-like journalists scurrying around just desperately waiting for whoever, you know, giant that they have created to fall over so they can gnaw his face off. I think you'd have to be insane to do this job. Who would take the job of the England coach? Seriously. I mean, you've got Alan Shearer, Michael Owen, David Beckham, if they can't do the job on the pitch, don't matter who the coach is, that's what they do for a living, for crying out loud. It's not like they're working 12 hours in a bakery overnight and they're, you know, completely shagged out from a long shift. That's what they do for a living. I mean, is my performance judged on the boss? No, it's me. It made no difference who happens to be sitting in the office up there to what I'd actually do on the air here. I mean, that's exactly what I was talking about earlier on, about the bloke with the too much drink in the bar and sues the barmaid. It's part of that American culture of it's not my fault, somebody else's fault. No, it's not Glenn's fault, it's the players on the pitch. I mean, if they were only taught how to play football by Glenn Hoddle, you might have a point. But this is a sideline for them. They do this for a living. 7 days a week, they're motivated to play football. So it's insane to blame the performance on Glenn, solely on Glenn Hoddle. It's the players. It's not Glenn. Glenn is just a tiny part. He only gets them for a couple of days. For the rest of the time, they're being taught by, Alex Ferguson, whoever it might be. And this is just insane, this whole, it was Glenn Hoddle now, and whoever it might have been before, every single one of them, it's all the same, they just get it in the neck. And I just don't get it. So what is it like? The players, they suddenly become dodos just because their club manager doesn't happen to be sitting on the bench? That's insane. Somebody pick a hole in that. Kev.
Well, yeah, I'm going to.
You're going to?
Well, no, I'm not, obviously. I wouldn't want the job being England coach. Get enough grief working with you.
Yeah, but your bad performance is directly attributable to me being your coach. You understand that, don't you?
Oh, yeah.
It's not your fault, nope. In other words.
Exactly.
Yeah. And any time you screw up, you can say...
Not on purpose.
And mean it.
Yeah, it's all your fault, Nick.
Yeah. I am completely culpable. We should get Eileen to come in and do a job on me. She's probably hanging out with Yuri Spoonbender. We should give him a call.
Get everyone talking.
Talk Radio.
National Talk Radio. Let you have your say.
Talk. 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 You're a part of Talk Radio's biggest audience ever.
Whatever the subject, whatever the day, don't you think everyone should know how good it is? Talk Radio.
Commercial radio station of the year.
Talk. There's a good argument for listening.
Hello, boy.
Hold it now.
I forgot my favorite man sitting over there. His name is...
Nick Abbott.
You ready?
Free call 0500 1053 89.
So I brought in some singles that we're going to be using tomorrow on Dress Down Friday. It's punk all night long, in it, Menno. And some of them aren't punk at all.
Right.
But so many of them are on Stiff Records. This one is on Oval Stiff. There used to be a record label called Oval, and I think they twinned with Stiff Records for this one here song. With this one song here. In it.
Should we perhaps just call it Dress Down Friday and not
and
reference
the
punk?
Hell with it. Yeah,
because
yeah,
no,
but it's from a punk box. It was re-released in 1978, first in 1974, and it's one of the greatest tracks ever made in the history of the planet.
And it is.
It was. Sometimes it's very hard to get this. It has appeared on Cajun compilations, and yet you wouldn't think it's because Cajun music is pretty annoying. Let's face it. I mean, you can hear one Cajun track, and then you want to physically pick the stereo up and throw it out the window. Am I right? But this. Like, it's rock and roll Cajun, absolutely fantastic.
It looks like, from the cover, you bought that in the 50s.
Well, it was originally in, I think it was a 50s track, which was, I don't know, it doesn't actually have the original date on it. It has 1974, and it must be earlier than that, because as you say, it looks like, I don't know, name a 50s star.
Eddie Cochran.
No, well, maybe, I don't know. What is... let's ask Elizabeth from Cheddar. Good evening, Elizabeth from Cheddar.
Are
you all right? Everything's all right and everything and everybody is all right, yeah.
Yeah, I rang up to speak about Ross Stewart.
Rod Stewart, you say?
Mm-hmm. He's a brilliant singer. Mm. But I never seen him in concert because I remember him in the 70s, see?
Yeah.
He started in the 70s, like probably he might have started earlier, but I remember him in the 70s. I got a couple of tapes of him.
Yeah?
Yeah, Wake Up Maggie and Waltz and Matilda.
Maggie.
Wake Up Maggie, innit? And then Waltz and Matilda.
And people in there are looking at me like totally blank. Maggie.
Yeah.
Out. Come on.
Yeah, oh,
congratulations, Kev.
Oh, come on.
Nick?
What?
He had it with Maggie, didn't he?
What?
He had a hit with that one, I think, didn't he?
The hit with Maggie May. That's right.
Yeah.
Rod Stewart.
Yeah.
That's what he sounds like now.
Yeah. I was going to say, I've been shopping again today.
Oh, really? What did you buy?
Well, I went into Wow's in Somerset and bought some books and that. A big, thick book and, like, the right...
For a big, thick...
Writing pad, yeah. And then I brought some folders.
Some what?
Pens.
What are you going to do?
I decided, like, to put my notes in and that, what I write down in that, all the radio clippings and that.
What do you write?
Talk radio.
Elizabeth, what is it that you write down?
Well, every time I get on, like, talk radio, like on your show, I put the dates down.
Yeah.
I put the dates down and just the time of the day and things like that, like time of the night.
You do?
Yeah.
Why?
Because I won't, just to keep a record of it, because it never takes it, see?
And then do you go back and look over the dates and think,
no,
oh,
I just keep it in there.
That was
like
a particularly
a souvenir,
good call.
Yeah.
Oh, it's a souvenir?
Yeah, it's a souvenir, because I'm a fan of that radio.
Still crazy after all these years.
That's a beautiful thought, Elizabeth.
That was a nice singer. Who was singing that?
That was Paul Simon.
Oh, still crazy.
Very good.
Yeah, it doesn't have that gravelly throated rock and roll wow thing that Rod Stewart's
like
got, though, does he?
Yeah, he was Presley's a good singer, though, wasn't he? King of rock and roll, wasn't he, though?
I don't know. Was Elvis Presley the king of rock and roll?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
I don't think there never come a never singer, though, was Elvis Presley. He was the best, wasn't he? Elvis Presley is the best.
He was the queen. The king.
The king, yeah. The king of rock.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think there'll never be a never singer like Elvis, you know?
No, not with that name, anyway.
No. His name matches and everything, doesn't it?
Elvis
Presley, like...
Well, yeah, I guess.
Yeah. He died in 1977, didn't he?
On the toilet.
It's a shame, though, poor Elvis, no sinner life. Never mind, then.
Can you remember what you were doing when you heard that Elvis was dead?
Yeah, I was going to school that morning.
School?
I was in Cheddar, going to school in Perlin. And my mum had to go into a sweet shop, because I wanted me sweets, like, to go to school.
What did you have as sweets back then?
That was, like, jelly bears.
Jelly bears?
Yeah, free for a penny back then.
Really?
Yeah, well, that's when I was about 11, I think.
Them was the good old days, weren't they?
Yeah, 1977. And I got the Sun newspaper, and it was on the front page.
Huh.
Yeah. I was shocked. I was crying as well.
You were?
Yeah, because I really liked Elvis. I've seen all these movies, everything.
Terrible films.
Yeah. But it's good, though, because when I was little, see, I was enjoying Elvis.
Yeah.
I'm a fan of his singing now, but when you see the film once and three or four times, you don't
Don't want to ever see it again.
Anymore,
not
so much,
not ever.
Know.
Ever again. That's right.
Probably might see it in 10 years' time.
Yeah, listen to him. The early stuff, absolutely. But you never want to see any of those films at all, ever. Crap.
I might do one day. But the best actor you can get, what do you reckon the best actor is? Bob Hoskins.
Bob Hoskins. Oh, he's very good.
Yeah, and what was the other one you said the other day you told me about? I've forgotten now. The one what come in that film?
Christopher Biggins?
No. He's a good actor. Then there's Richard Burton, and he's a good actor.
Oh, he's very
Kirk
good.
Kirk Douglas,
mm-hmm.
He's a good actor. And then,
any
more good actors, though, aren't they? But Elvis Presley was more a show-off when he started in his films, wasn't he? He was a show-off, Elvis Presley did. Didn't he, Nick?
So what have you had to eat today, then, Elizabeth? Yeah.
Tell the truth.
Mm-hmm.
I went in, we had to go and see somebody in Keynsham, so I stopped in the coffee shop.
Did you have any cheddar cheese?
Not today, no. So what I had today, I went into the bakehouse, I had a cup of coffee with some sweeteners. That's what Elvis and McGreek like.
Yeah.
And then I had some soup and a piece of toast. I thought myself, That's all the meal I've had today. I started a strict diet today. I'm keeping to it now.
A strict diet.
No more biscuits. No more chocolate cookies. No more like that. I might go on a diet now at Christmas and have a treat at Christmas.
Right. You'll be able to save your whatever cheddar or cheese that you've got left and have it at Christmas.
You'll have the pickled onions with it.
It'll be beautiful.
Yeah.
Okay,
I'll let you go on to next corner
now. You better add, yeah.
How long have I been talking to you now for then?
Too long.
Yeah. Anyway, nice to talk to you.
Thank you, Elizabeth.
Bye, God bless.
It was Elizabeth from Cheddar.
Still crazy after all these years.
No.
If Andy, sick boy, is listening up there, can I have a fork, please? I just spent 3 minutes sitting here listening to adverts without being able to eat anything.
I love the way that you like to use this national radio station as like a public address Hanoi system.
Yes. How are you listening out there? So it's 0500 1050 389. It is a free call. Here is a call in Orpington. Hello, Mick.
Hello, Nick.
Mick.
How are you?
I'm all right.
Well, what I was going to say is totally different. Oh, she's lovely, isn't she, that girl from Cheddar?
Mm-hmm.
I like the cheese well. But what I was going to say was, is this something, I can't believe it, what's happened to me this week.
What?
Well, a friend of mine had a dog. He died.
Yeah.
He gave me all the grub and the bowls and all that, as you do, get rid of it, yeah?
Yeah.
Anyway.
Oh, that's funny to you, this bloke's dog.
Oh, the music.
This is a comedy piece of music to you?
Well, it fitted the point, didn't it? You know what I mean? Already. So I'm going to do you a nice job.
You are a very disturbed little boy, mate.
I am. Anyway, I've got a bag of food.
A bag of?
A bag of dog food, which is all natural.
Food, I thought you said.
Food, yes, F-O-D.
Oh.
Right, well, you're not the micro job.
Okay, food, with
okay,
you.
Okay, so I've opened it up. Quickly, and it's been sitting in a cupboard, and I went to the cupboard today, opened the door, and a load of, like, moth things come out.
Moths?
Yeah, but they're not moths. I found out they are grain, wheat and grain flies. Now, I've had this stuck about 4 months, so I'm not complaining about the dog food and what have you. But what I'm saying is, The moths must have laid the eggs in the wheat and the grain that is natural, in the natural food, that is in the bag, and I'm surrounded by moths.
You're surrounded by moths?
Yeah.
Really? Are the walls also bleeding and a big loud voice saying, get out.
They are here. They are taking over.
Oh,
no, we're in.
Mick, you're really beginning to scare me now.
I ain't, am I?
Well,
I'm not frightening, am I?
It's the way I stoop, you know.
Well, you are beginning to get frightening. Listen, mate, I've got to go. It's 0500 1053 89. And, of course, this whole thing about, Peter Daly was talking about this yesterday, and I touched upon it. The Virgin Mary thing. You know, you heard about this?
Yeah, Because she's back.
But not for good.
No. So, you know.
Who's that back but not for good? Was that the Spice Girls?
No, back for good was Take That.
Oh, that's a shame.
God, I knew that.
Yo, tell me what I want, what I really, really want. Don't tell me what you want, what you really, really want.
Yeah, wait a minute, how come you knew that? Isn't that a little bit scary too?
Because I'm such a media tart, I know all these things.
Hello, I'm Paul Ross, and contrary to what Nick Abbott says, I am not a prostitute.
Wait a minute. Hold on. Too much going on there all at once. So let's finish this.
Yo, tell me what I want, what I really, really want. Oh, tell me what you want, what you really, really want.
Oh, thanks, sir. Did you hear my... Oh, there you got my fork.
There it is.
Fantastic. Hooray. Hooray. Now I'm happy.
I wanna really, really, really wanna dig a dig.
Booty. So, where was I?
Back for good.
Oh, yeah. Not many people.
I think we should go down the pub.
Not many papers.
Convinced.
Not many papers actually had this. What was that? Was that my phone?
It sounds like it.
How embarrassing! But that was that happens a lot. My phone is crap. Don't ever buy.
Don't say it.
See, it doesn't ring. How do you get your phone to ring? All I ever get is messages. And people are always saying, well, you never answer your phone.
It's never switched on.
No. Can I get my message now?
Yeah.
That would be so unprofessional.
What, you mean leaving your phone on so that it rings during a program isn't?
Last received calls. And I never know how to work this either. Last received calls. Is number one the very last call that you received?
I think so. It depends on your phone.
Okay, can we have another break? So I need to work out my social schedule. So anyway, not many papers had this. There's this scarifyingly... scary looking woman who's standing in a field, and 100,000 people have come to hear her speak, because she says that the Virgin Mary has been coming to have a chat on a monthly basis for years. Of course. Let's take a bus.
So, what we're saying is this woman, once a month, she hears voices in her head.
Yeah. Mm. And speaks the voice, and so on and so forth. But the Independent was one of the few papers that actually had this story, and it was great. They obviously sent somebody over there, or they had, or they bought. I don't know. It doesn't matter how they got the story. They printed it. That's it. Believers from all corners of the world gasped, knelt, thrust their foreheads into the grass, and prayed. Because, they're waiting for this woman to come in and tell them what the Virgin Mary said. Naturally. There she is, someone shouted, and all eyes and cameras turned south towards a single puffy white cloud in a hazy blue sky. See? It's the Virgin. She's holding Jesus in that cloud, and she's moving. Look up there. The sun's spinning. It always does that when the Virgin appears, says another. I mean, really? Among the faithful, 60 busloads from Monterrey, Mexico. 60 busloads who had driven 3 days and 2 nights to get there. This is flat out weird. Others had flown in from as far away as Japan and Australia. Are you listening to this, Kev?
Yes, I am.
What the hell are you talking to Russ for?
Because, he's...
This is the word of the Virgin Mary.
Oh, I'm sorry.
This is more important than whatever business you've got with him. Please pay attention.
Okay. Russ, be quiet.
And then she arrives. Our loving mother gave me this message, Mrs. Fowler said. My dear children, I have come for the last time this way. The next time I will see you will be in heaven, said the Virgin Mary to this plump woman in a field. And people are, treating this like it's serious. Further, the quotes go, children, be ready for heaven. My son has prepared a place for you, but please stop offending God. You have not yet seen the forces of nature. And that's it. Worth traveling from Australia, Japan, and Monterrey, Mexico in 60 buses to hear that, right? To stop offending God, and I'll see you in heaven.
And don't do drugs.
Yeah, tatty bye, thanks for coming. A few years ago, she's been doing this for years, right? And the crowds have been gradually increasing. A few years ago, county inspectors found that what she called holy water from a well on her farm, which she said had been blessed by Jesus, it's not only his mama comes, it's Jesus himself. It was contaminated, this holy water. So obviously Jesus didn't do such a good job, you would think, that if Jesus would bless water, then it wouldn't actually kill you if you drank it. I mean, you'd think that you'd be invigorated, at least, like a little coffee caffeine buzz, minimum.
It'd probably be decaffeinated, I would have thought. It's better for you.
She was forced to post signs warning that the water was holy, but not recommended for drinking. The Pope has not condoned her activity, and the Catholic Church in her area are urging pilgrims not to go and to go to their regular church. The hierarchy, it says in this paper, might be envious of the donations. Oh, here we go. Alarm bells are at this moment ringing in our minds. The hierarchy may be envious of the donations Mrs. Fowler receives, as well as the income from books and videos about her visions. There'll be a diet book and a Keep Fit video. Yeah, Keep Fit with the Virgin Mary. It'll be great. This is like spreading too. There have been increasing apparitions of Jesus and the Virgin Mary, particularly in the Americas in recent years. There's a waiting list into the next century to visit the home of a paralyzed 14-year-old Audrey Santo, who cannot speak and can barely move, in Massachusetts. People believe she has been given divine powers and can cure ailments, including cancer. Of course.
Yeah, of course she can.
Believers have also begun flocking to the village home of a Mexican housewife, Fernanda Rivas.
Olé!
To see a cake, she says, came out of the oven, miraculously carrying an image of the Madonna and Child. This is not a matter for levity.
In the icing or something.
This woman is moving to Florida next month, but she will still, fortunately, be accepting donations to what she calls her non-profit group known as Our Loving Mother's Children Incorporated. It is too much, isn't it? But then there's Lourdes. I didn't know this. You know, it says rival shrines to Our Lady, and it lists a few of these. This is in the Independent. Lourdes. What do you know about Lourdes?
It's Madonna's daughter, isn't it?
It says it's probably the most important place of pilgrimage for devout Catholics. 5 million believers, many of them sick or disabled, visit the shrine at Lourdes every year, hoping for a cure. And do you know why they do that there?
No.
It's an isolated rural French hamlet where a peasant girl called Bernadette claims she saw the Virgin Mary 140 years ago.
Right. Eh?
Then there's a place called Fatima. In Portugal, where the Virgin is said to have appeared to 3 shepherd children in 1917.
Not too recently, then.
There's more. Medjugorje, probably not how you pronounce it, that's what it looks like. In Bosnia, a venue venerated by many devout Catholics, since 6 children, again, claim they saw the figure of Mary appear and speak to them in 1981. Local Franciscan friars declared the vision authentic.
Did they see it then? Or did they just decide it was authentic?
Apparently, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Then there's Achill Sound, probably also not how you pronounce it, in County Mayo. Busloads of pilgrims flock to the house of Christina Gallagher, who claims to receive messages from the Virgin and to suffer the stigmata. And, what can you say but, busloads of people probably still go to the place where that woman was dusting, and the face of Jesus appeared miraculously in a yellow duster. Busloads, they'll be flying in from Australia. For what?
Right, okay, we can make some money here. Start dusting things, Sipoy, it doesn't matter what.
Okay, so, in some state of confusion, we're going away to come back.
This is Talk Radio. Talking with 2.8 million listeners.
2.8 million people.
The best talk on your national interactive station.
Talk. All day, every day.
There's a good argument for listening.
Dig out. You have got to talk to him. He'll listen to you.
I'm in London. Hello, Kenny.
Hello, mate. How you doing?
All right.
It's a very quick one, actually.
Mm-hmm.
I'll just jump back in the car because it's easier. But I just heard you on the phone saying about how displeased and you can't operate the phone properly and you have great difficulties. Really, kids these days have phones. I work for one of the major mobile telephone companies. I won't say the name, but I'll just say it's Bright, and the advertising's fairly, you just need an easier phone to use, something slightly smaller and more user-friendly, because these days, they've come a long way. It's all on the screen, menu prompts, away you go.
Like, yeah, I know. I've got the smallest and most advanced phone you've got.
You've got that little thing that
yeah,
I've
yeah.
got that thing. Mm-hmm. But, you know, they're very complicated. They're very complicated, the actual the peripheral, the user menus.
I do communications for a living. I am a professional. You think I'd be able to get the hang of a stupid phone? It's not that I don't have a problem working my phone. I just collected my message. Ooh. It was sent at 4:50. I got it at 7, 7:45.
If you had something similar to what I'm using, you could run it so the phone was while the phone was on. If you run available, let's say your radio station, you're talking away, chatting away, doing your show, you'd have something called a product called Assistant, where the user would not get an answer phone or a voicemail. They'd go straight through to a human operator.
Right, and how much does that cost?
Hold on. They'd be greeted with something like...
I'm familiar with the system. How much does it... How much does it cost?
On our network, it's...
More, in other words. More. If that's all you need is a mobile phone that costs more than the... And the price that it already charges. Are they advertising with us?
Probably.
Great step forward in communications, apart from, when you can't get through, and when the phone doesn't work, and when the battery runs down, and all of that stuff.
All the time.
Yeah.
Fax and email thingies are open. Fax is an 0541.
Some people can fax an email with a mobile phone.
Did you
know that? I was watching the BBC breakfast news thing this morning. They had a big advert for mobile phones. It went on for about 10, 15 minutes. They were just hey, get this one. It's great. We're just holding them up and saying, hey, look what this one does. It's just an advert. I couldn't believe it.
0541-5969-79 for faxes, which we will read. An email, nabbott@talk-radio.co.uk, or if you want to look at any of Nick's fabulous websites, then it's www.nickabbott.com. That's one word.
Yeah.
Still two B's, one T.
It was bizarre, though, watching them do... On TV AM, occasionally they'll have you flip around and there'll be this woman with a table full of makeup or moisturizers or something like that, and she'll just hold them up and go, oh, this one's lovely. And that's just like an advert, which is exactly what they did this morning on the BBC. They were just holding up phones saying, oh gosh, look what this does, isn't it great? I'm thinking, what's the purpose of this item apart from to advertise, different models of mobile phone? I was confused. Didn't think that they did adverts on the BBC, but of course that they do. Every time the snooker is on, they're advertising cigarettes, and every time, of course, they lost the motor race into ITV, didn't they? But, you know, any major sporting event, adverts all over the place. Of course there are adverts on the BBC. Any fool know that.
Unless there aren't.
No, there are.
Well, I suppose, kind of, but they aren't supposed to be. Or something.
I know I've gone about a bee, but good grief, they really do deserve it. You know that Chris Smith, the culture secretary?
He's very good.
No, he ain't.
Oh.
He was addressing the Royal Television Society and insisted on maintaining the historic traditions of the BBC. Maintaining them. Note that word, maintaining, rather than re-establishing the historic traditions of the BBC. Maintaining. He said it must maintain its role as I'll stress that word again, it must maintain its role as a high-quality, comprehensive public service broadcaster delivering distinctive and creative programs to the public. Maintain its distinctive and creative programs.
Faulty Towers.
Get me the TV listings for tonight. Let's see if they're maintaining their distinction from, for instance, ITV. Should we see, just for like a taste test here, should we see if they maintained a distinctive character to ITV? What do you reckon?
Well,
just off the top of your head.
It's probably distinctive in some way. Oh, here comes the paper.
Okay, Where are we? What time of day should we start? Early morning?
No, let's look at the evenings, because that's when more people watch, isn't it? From about 6.
From about 6. Can we not start a little earlier? First they got Neighbours, which is a buy-in from Australia.
Isn't it now a BBC co-production, though, as well? I believe it is, because it was so successful, in order to stop it from being cancelled, because nobody watches it in Australia, they started pumping some money into it.
What the hell has that got to do with it, Kev? It's a buy-in Australian teeny soap, which they repeat. Not just, they'll show it one day and repeat it, you know, like the best of the week in an omelet, but they repeat it on the same damn day. And what did they just do? They bought another Australian teeny soap, which makes Neighbours look like Panorama. It's so, have you seen it? I can't remember what it's called.
Is that Breakers?
But yeah. It's appalling. Quite possibly one of the worst programs ever to have been broadcast on terrestrial TV. Channel 5 would turn their nose up. And they show that twice a day, too. All right, well, let's start at 6. News. Right, then Watchdog with Anne Robinson. It's the Winking Woman. Well, it's like a series of complaints. How anybody watches that show is just beyond me. Then EastEnders. Oh, really, maintaining their distinctive difference from ITV by copying Coronation Street. Except that they just said it in London instead. Then, oh, blimey, here we go. It's incredible. Animal Hospital. I'm actually not making this up. This is what's on tonight at BBC One. Animal Hospital. Guess what? It's a fly-on-the-wall docu-soap about the vet's hospital.
With Rolf Harris.
Yeah, and you know what they've got in the morning now? Their exciting new program? It's a fly-on-the-wall docu-soap about a hospital. Seriously. It fits in right there with Real Rooms, which is one of these fly-on-the-wall docu-soaps about people getting the decorator in. And can't cook, won't cook. What was the phrase again?
Maintaining
its role as a high-quality, comprehensive public service broadcaster, delivering distinctive and creative programs to the public. Okay. Animal Hospital. Do you know what follows Animal Hospital?
Go on.
The Zookeepers, which is, guess what? It's a fly-on-the-wall docu-soap about a zoo. So from Animal Hospital to a zoo. Then the news. Then Undercover Heart, which is what? Looks like a cop show. And then Clive Anderson, All Talk. So you have to wait. I mean, I don't know what this cop show's like, but you have to wait till 9:30 at night. Absolutely nothing previous to it in the entire day. Style Challenge. You ever seen that?
No.
Like I said before, Channel 5 would stick their nose up. Oh, blimey, is it that time already? Well, we've got to take a break, because we're how many minutes past?
Four,
yes.
Going to run into the news at the rate we're
going. Yeah, I know. And, so that's it.
TNT Classic Movies and Talk Radio bring you closer than ever to the all-time stars with TNT Classic Movies Hollywood Heroes Competition.
Get ready for a big surprise.
Now you can experience all the glitz and glamour of Hollywood by tuning into Lorraine Kelly on Talk Radio. Every Wednesday from 11 a.m, a star featured in TNT's Hollywood Great Season is debated in Lorraine Kelly's show, and you can take part in the Hollywood Heroes Competition.
Well, nice going, honey. You certainly hooked a big one.
Just think, you and a friend could be flying to L.A., staying in a luxury hotel, and seeing Hollywood for yourself, even touring a major film studio. And TNT Classic Movies will also give you £1,000 spending money. Join the discussion about your favorite Hollywood stars every Wednesday and win the holiday of a lifetime.
Best for California, huh?
Talk Radio Hollywood Heroes with TNT Classic Movies, the cable and satellite channel that brings you the movies that made you love the movies.
Shirley Bassey's new collection is the Diamond Collection.
Gold finger.
24 of her greatest hits, spanning a sparkling career on this extra-value double CD. Shirley Bassey, the Diamond Collection. Add it to yours now.
Dad, how hot is the sun? What's England's largest lake?
Oh, that'd be Lake...
What's the heaviest hydrogen isotope?
Who do you think I am, Encyclopedia Britannica?
There's only one Encyclopedia Britannica. The Encyclopedia Britannica, and now it's even easier to use. Now it's on CD-ROM, giving instant access to every word of the complete 32-volume printed edition, plus graphics, audio, and video. Just type in a question, in seconds you'll get exciting, highly detailed, and illuminating answers. Which other encyclopedia is smart enough to be that simple to use. The Encyclopedia Britannica Multimedia CD-ROM is the encyclopedia you and your family will probably never outgrow. Call now and pay just £25 a month for 5 months at 0% APR. A total of just £125, interest-free. Free phone 0808 100 3100 for the one and only Encyclopedia Britannica. 0808 100 3100. Written quotations from Chancery House, St Nicholas Way, Sutton, Surrey.
We're out on the street finding out whether people really can keep their cool when they hear about the Renault Megane Elise. Excuse me.
Hello.
Did you know that the Renault Megane Elise comes with air conditioning, an electric sunroof, power steering, ABS brakes, body-coloured bumpers, front fog lamps and stereo controls by the steering wheel, yet it costs just £12,995. Amazing. Have you always been this cool?
Hello.
Ah, you don't understand what I'm saying, Leah.
Hello. The new Renault Megane Elise from £12,995 on the road, including 0% finance subject to status, plus free insurance. Certain conditions apply. For written details, call 0800 52 51 50.
Hello.
Talk Radio. The station that lets you have your say to the whole of the country. National Talk Radio. Your station of the year.
There's a good argument for listening.
Hold it now.
Nick Abbott.
So, you're a philosopher?
Ready?
Fax 0541 59
69 79. Something very odd is going on with those jingles. You seem to be using the into and out of news piece. Why is that?
Nicky
that's
just saying,
that's just confusing.
Well, Nicky just nearly had a coronary in there because he goes, we're on.
I mean, you know, doesn't this station use that ba 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 ba? That's the news thing, right?
Yeah.
Well, why is it out of ads now? I don't understand.
I don't know. I'll ask the people who are in charge of such things.
Okay, can you do that for me?
Certainly.
Here's one in Fife. Hello, Jim.
Hello.
Jim.
How are you?
All right.
You need a new dump button operator, Nick.
Why?
That useless great gonk you missed, you made a mistake.
Mm-hmm.
You said the wrong number.
I did?
You did.
I don't remember it.
Oh, well.
What do you know about radio waves?
I don't know. Test me.
Medium wave, does it go into outer space?
No, I don't think it goes into outer space. I think it bounces off one of the layers in our atmosphere.
Oh, good. So aliens aren't listening.
apart from your host, there are no aliens actually involved in the making of this program.
Jolly good. Cheers, Mike.
Okay. Glad to have cleared that up for you. It was a call from Professor Heinz Wolf. Here's a mobile on the M4. Hello.
Hello.
Yes, sir.
Good evening. Regarding your comments on the footballers.
Yeah.
Having a... Being playing for England should be enough for them, yeah, sir. Motivate them.
You've got 5 seconds.
A comment on the television the other day was someone said...
And now for the clown news. The International Clown Hall of Fame has honoured its first woman. Peggy Williams was the first female to graduate from the Ringling Brothers and Barnum and Bailey Clown College in 1970 and now instructs primary school teachers in how to use the circus as a teaching tool. I thank you. And she might be standing by her man, but it took a clown to raise a smile out of Hillary Clinton. The First Lady met the performer during a tour of the Visual Arts Museum in Montevideo. Talk Radio satellite weather. Tonight, any showers will die out to leave most parts of the UK dry but chilly. Scotland will be cold and frosty.
It's snowing!
No, not quite, but maybe soon. Clouds spreading into the southwest by the end of the night. The overnight low will be between 4 and 7 degrees centigrade, but minus 2 in the coldest parts of Scotland. Talk Radio news time. It's 4 minutes past 8.
This is Talk Radio, the 1998 KPMG Commercial Radio Station of the Year.
Oh, hello.
Hello.
Hello, Nick.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello. Hello, Richard.
Hello, how are you?
For the purposes of this phone call, may I call you Dick?
No.
I'm gonna look myself up.
What?
Are you driving?
I could rev my engine for you so you could hear if you like. Listen. Do you hear that?
Okay, can we pinpoint this person's position? If there are mobile police in the area, I want him breathalyzed immediately. Valerie, do you have a drinking problem?
No, I've got an omelette on the go.
Is that an answer to my question? Jesus' mum is only coming at this last one more time. Why only one more time? What, is she busy? She has, like, a schedule?
Well, she's got Christmas coming up, hasn't she?
Oh, that's right, yes.
I do wear size 12 shoes, though.
Size 12 shoes, and you're only 3'6". That's incredible. Okay, Nicky the Psycho Newsreader, I'd like stories tomorrow about Jesus' face appearing on dusters, you know.
Oh,
crap,
I can find loads of those. That's
crap
quite
like
easy.
That. Can you do that for me?
Yes.
That would be great. Nutters are taking planes from Australia to, you know, to the other side of the globe to see Moses' face in the, on a pie crust, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah, I've got loads of those.
That would be great.
Yeah.
You are here tomorrow, aren't you?
Yes, I am here tomorrow, but I'm not next week because I'm going on holiday.
Oh, really? Where are you going?
Turkey.
Turkey? You don't want to go to Turkey.
Why not?
Because 150 or so people have gone missing in Turkey. They've been killed really dead because people are nicking their passports over there.
Do you think that's going to happen to me?
Well...
Are you having visions from the Virgin Mary? Are you being visitated or whatever happens to you?
Visitated?
You know something about my holiday that I don't.
Yeah, that you shouldn't go to Turkey.
But I'm going on a...
Have you not seen Midnight Express?
No.
Come on.
No. But I've paid for it now.
You've paid for it?
Yeah.
Would you like to pay for it with your life?
No. I'm going with the girls, though.
Oh, well, that will give you a lot of protection, won't it? With the girls?
Absolutely.
Are you going to be armed up?
I don't need to be armed up.
Yes, you do.
Can they all do judo as well, then?
No, but one of them works in the city, so she's pretty mean.
And the other one's a professional wrestler.
The other one's an architect, yeah, so she, you know, will be
don't
right.
Rely on your judo. I mean,
all
these people who go to, you know, kung fu classes and all that sort of thing, they think that they've suddenly turned into Bruce Lee and they'll be able to take on 50 different people if they all come at them, you know, one at a time. That's just rubbish.
After 15 years of the sport that I probably know it well enough. But I don't tend to use it on men,
no,
I just hit them.
I'm sure that you're very good in the judo arena, and I don't doubt your abilities in that respect. But if, you know, armed militia are coming in from the mountain, then, all you know, 15 years of judo counts for naught.
Absolutely, but I'm going on a nice little holiday where they look after us lots and we're going sailing, so I don't think they're taking us to that part of Turkey. But thanks for your
concern.
Well,
how do you know which part of Turkey it is?
Because I know, because I've seen the brochures, I've looked it up, I've checked the map.
So the cheaper holidays are where you get killed to death?
No.
And you're going to the more expensive one?
No, it's not actually, it is a cheaper one, but it's a package tour. You know, they sort of like, you get off the plane, they put you on a coach, they take you to your resort, and you stay there.
Right, forever.
Yes.
Underneath the patio.
I'm never going to tell you when I go on holiday, because you make me feel so great about it.
How long are you going there for?
Just
forever.
Just a week. Yes.
Well, we'll find out.
Yeah.
Can you call us while you're there?
If I'm sober enough.
Yeah.
No, when you're not sober.
When I'm not, no, because then I really will embarrass myself.
Yeah.
I know that's what you'd like.
Of course.
No, when you're sober.
When I'm sober.
Mm-hmm. Because your kidnappers are bound to give you one call. To the outside world.
Okay.
And
so
what
you
price?
You want me to call after I'm kidnapped, then?
Yeah, what price do you think that, you know, the radio station will stump up?
Oh, bugger all.
No, what's your language?
Oh, I'm sorry.
I'd
just like to say that I apologise for anyone who was offended by that.
Yeah.
It was a bad word and I won't use it again. I rephrase that.
I accept
the station
your
would probably pay them to keep me, I would have thought.
I know you
guys could do a whip round for me, but I don't think we'll get very much. So, actually, I'd be quite happy to stay out there. It would be a better life, you know, being a wife to... You know.
I'm not making that up. I did read that today. Something like 150 British passport holders have been killed really dead in Turkey because people are nicking their passports.
Really?
Apparently so. I can't remember which newspaper I read it in, but it was one of today's papers.
Well, I hate to say it, but I'm not that attached to my passport. If somebody waved a gun in my face and said, your passport or your life, I'd hand it over.
Yeah, but the thing is, if you nick someone's passport, you need to kill them.
Oh, yeah.
Because if you're going to use their passport, you can't be, like, popping up saying, oh, hello.
So, hey, Nicky, enjoy your holiday.
Yeah, I was going to say, I was in such a good mood, and now I'm sort of like...
You don't need to pack a change of clothing, because you won't be needing it.
Oh, I'm not going to wear very much.
You'll barely get off the plane.
Oh, you're such a bundle of joy, you are. Oh, I'm going to go...
I wonder what she was going to call you then.
So tomorrow we're going to have, I've seen Jesus's face.
Jesus news.
Yeah.
Jesus news. Okay. Okay. That's great.
Great.
And if you want me to leave any while you're away, you better tell me in advance because I can sort them out.
You can tape them up?
Yeah. Yeah, and put them on little disky things that Kev can use.
Well, who's in
for
that?
Is that the technical term for them? Little disky things?
No, actually.
Oh.
Don't
it's not the sheep dip guy, is it?
Oh, it might be.
Oh. He was very good.
Yeah.
He actually was very good.
Leave him alone, right. sheep dick.
Oh, that's dick. So cruel. You
that's what he said.
It
he was,
happens to us all at some time or another.
Not like that, it doesn't. He was he was reading a story about sheep dip, and he said, sheep dick dip.
Oh, that's so...
What was he thinking of?
I don't know. Moving
did
on.
He laugh?
Yeah.
No, he was mortified.
Yeah, he was very, very upset.
No. We have to take a break now.
No, I was just thinking, we haven't had a report from...
Alistair Wanklin, Moscow.
...in a good long while. This is to talk radio. There's a good argument for listening. Or something.
Nikki was just saying she's going to bring us in food tomorrow.
What kind of food? What's no, I don't want none of that hummus, Turkish.
No, she's looking after us properly. She's going to bring in.
Yeah, the cook will come in, it'll be... I don't want nothing he cooks.
Biscuits.
Mm-hmm. Lovely biscuits.
Chocolate brownies.
Really?
And cheese straws.
Excuse me?
Cheese straws.
Cheese straws. She can take her cheese straws and she can...
Well, you be careful. Well, I don't know, what's a cheese straw?
It's a cheese straw. You idiot.
All right. Well, fine. That's
just as long as it's none of that Turkish food.
No.
Azagiris.
No.
Yak azagiris. I don't want no yak azagiris. I don't want no greasy yak food.
No, of course.
Can I request that, please?
Okay. We'll make sure of that.
Excellent. Here's one in Norwich. Hello, Ben.
Hello?
Ben.
Hello?
Yes, sir.
Hello. I'd just like to say, why have I been waiting for 20 minutes before I come on the radio?
Right. Is that what you called about?
Well, no, I didn't actually. I thought about the legalisation of cannabis.
Okay, that's exactly what it says on my screen. It says mobile phones. What an idiot. Here's one in Salisbury. Hello, Dave.
Hello, Nick. Two things. Yeah. Firstly, why do you allow Nicky to use a pseudonym when she's introducing the news? You should make her use a real name, Nicky the Psycho Newsreader. You know what she
said? Yeah, that would be great for her career, yeah.
Right, second one is... you know you have this competition with Kev on a Friday with the punk rock things?
Yeah.
You should let him win more often.
Well, I am a professional. I can't...
Well, do you want me to tell you why?
Why?
Well, if you win, that makes you victorious, yeah?
Happy and glorious, yes.
Yeah, which makes you the victor.
Yeah.
Right. What the French call the victor is le vainqueur. So now, you are Nick Abbott, le vainqueur.
Alistair Wanklin.
Exactly.
Basically, yeah.
You couldn't have summed up the situation more presciently, Dave. Congratulations.
All right, mate.
Here's one in London. It looks like a woman called Claire. Hello.
Hi, I went to Turkey about a month ago, and I spent 2 weeks camping on a beach. You can't really get much more exposed than that. And it was really, really good, and nobody even looked at my passport.
Nobody even killed you to death?
No. Be wary of the men, though.
Well, no, wait a minute. What does that mean? In other words, 50% of the population you have to be wary of? Huh?
Yeah.
But apart from that, it's great.
Oh, yeah.
Apart from 50% of the people that live there, it's great. Is that what you're saying?
They're just really lecherous, but apart from that, everything's great.
All of them?
Most of them.
Well... How can you first start in with, oh, it was wonderful and I didn't have any problems and I was really exposed?
I didn't have any problems with my passport being stolen.
But you might...
And being killed to death.
Okay, but one step down from being killed to death, that might have been a problem. Is that what you're saying?
No, well, they just leer the
like
whole
the
time.
Like the second worst crime apart from being killed to death?
They look, but they don't touch.
Well, I wouldn't bank on it.
Well, they didn't touch me or any of my friends who I was with.
Well,
we're not like dog ugly or anything. So it wasn't because of that.
Well, are you sure about that, Claire?
Fairly sure. At least I hope I am.
You're not looking through rose-tinted spectacles, are you?
No.
Do you have rose-tinted spectacles?
No, I have normal ones.
Ordinary spectacles?
Yes.
Well, I've been a little better than that, Rose. So you're absolutely beautiful, and you didn't have any problems at all, apart from with all of the men. That's what you're saying. That's
no,
the
I'm
thing about
saying
Turkey.
I'm absolutely beautiful.
I'm just saying that the men are a bit leery, but other than that, it's fine.
Have you ever been to Italy?
Yes.
Ditto or not?
Not so much.
Kind of along the same lines?
Yeah.
And you don't find this in London?
Oh, God, yes.
Well, then what the hell are you talking about?
Well, I know, but it's different in London because you can just kind of, like...
You
can speak to them in English and tell them where to go, whereas if you do that in Turkey, they may not understand, you see.
Yeah, they probably wouldn't be able to go there either. They'd need, like, air tickets.
Well, yeah.
Okay, just...
Claire,
just do.
That was a very, very bad thing you just said. You just named a national supermarket chain and said that it was the most lechy place in London. That's an awful, dreadful thing to do.
The one that I shop at...
Well, I don't care. I don't... It's just a terrible thing to say. I can't believe she said that. Where was it again? One of the big five supermarket chains, and she said, of all the places in London that's the most lechy, that's it. And that's something that you think that we should put on the air, Claire.
You didn't dump it.
We did dump it. You were a very bad woman.
I'm sorry.
Well, that's okay. Turkey deserves you. Here's one in Camberley. Hello, Bob. What, Kev?
Well, I was going to say...
Another break.
If you wanted time, you know, you could take a break if you wanted to.
All right, Bob, can you hold through the break?
I can.
Okay, he's holding it as we speak. It's 0500 1053 89. It's a free call. It's just a truism in radio that, you know, certain musical bits, not just radio, television, anything, have a certain meaning. You know, that's why people spend an enormous amount of money getting composers to come up with just a few little notes. And then, you know, stuff that everybody knows. You know, cinema houses do it, and TV companies do it. You know, did the music. They had, you know, London... Take it away. London Weekend Television. All the TV companies, they've all got their few, like, a sort of three notes, four notes, five notes, something like that, that people associate directly with them. And so and that into the news thing, it's got to be only into the news, because, you know, people have got this on in the background, something like that. Their ears will prick up, oh, it's the news, they'll think. But you don't have it coming out of an ad break, that's just wrong. I mean, companies spend millions of pounds getting brand recognition. And if as a station you've got a piece of music going into the news, then that's part of the brand recognition. You don't screw with that.
Well, personally, I think it's quite funny, because every time that comes on, Nikki sprints down the corridor.
Yeah. Okay, Bob, we'll get to you in a second. The sales of the impotency drug Viagra have slumped in America to barely one-third of the volume at its launch. Who would have thunk it? It's the most successful... was it not the most successful launch of any drug ever?
Probably. Certainly had the most publicity.
Yeah. The manufacturer of Pfizer have taken to advertising on television and in mainstream magazines to try and boost interest. The fall comes as Pfizer embarks on a launch of the drug across Europe with high hopes that every pharmacy would stock it. But yesterday, pharmacies across Italy reported few, if any, customers had purchased the blue pills on its first day of sales. The story was similar in France, where, in a move that will give Pfizer further headaches, the government yesterday ordered a £3.5 million program to monitor the risks. It's thought that Viagra could adversely affect men suffering from heart disease and high blood pressure. Well, as could having vigorous sex. That should be against the law too. In fact, it probably is in this country. The company attributes the slowdown in sales to many wholesalers buying far too much initially. However, the firm does admit it anticipated more doctors would make it available to patients on prescription. No, that's not the reason. You want to know what the reason is?
Go on then.
The reason is, once you try it once... But most people who are trying this are men of a certain age, am I right?
I would think so.
Most men of a certain age have been married for a good long while, am I right?
Yeah.
Right. So they haven't been able to perform in a good long while with their nice lady wives. And so they're taking the drug, and here we go. And they're, you know, performing with the woman, the good woman that they've been married to, you know, a decade or more.
Right.
And they're realizing that things might work again, but they're still having sex with the same woman. Who wants to go and get a doctor's prescription for that? If the pill came with a brand new partner, then absolutely, they would still, the sales would be through the roof. But if you're just going to watch the same old program again, why bother getting a new video recorder?
It's like in the...
If you've got a favourite movie on videotape, it's not going to make it a different experience just to get a new copy. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, it's like in The Simpsons when Homer and Marge are in bed, and Homer's watching a cop show on TV, sorry, a film on TV, and she goes, oh, you've seen this before? And he goes, yeah, but I've only seen this film twice, and I've seen you every night for the past 25...
Here's, back with you, Bob.
Hiya.
Bob.
Hello.
Yes, Bob.
Yep. I take it that was one of your researchers that's going to Turkey. Yep.
Okay.
I recognise the voice. my daughter went out there a couple of years back. She's about the same age group, you know, sort of global figure and what have you. And they went round the local markets and they're in their usual attire, you know, shorts, halter and what have you. And whilst her backs were turned, looking at stalls and markets, you know, buying trinkets and what have you, but the Turkish women were spitting on them as they went past in their traditional costumes, you know, the yashmaks and all that lot. They used to spit at them.
Lovely.
And
them and the camels both.
Yep. And all that lot. And secondly, coming back, going right through the spectrum now, what do you know anything about newts?
Excuse me?
Newts.
Newts?
E-W-T-S.
Do I know anything about them?
Yep.
Ken Livingstone is famous for keeping them, and the people are often described as being...
Part of them, yeah.
As newts.
All of a sudden, I've got a collection of them bottom of my garden, and I recognise some of them as being crystal newts.
Crystal newts? Is this what... Is this? Should Yuri Spoonbender be in on this?
No, no.
Is this one of these things that give off positive vibrations that heal all ills?
No, no. This is... I'm in straight. They're endangered species. And today, I went down there and I was looking... There's a little stream past the bottom of my garden. And...
And you saw some crystal newts. They're an endangered species. Well, I bet they taste delicious, Bob. Don't let me hold you back. 0500-1053-89. It's a free call. Here's one in London. Hello, Ray.
Hello, Nick.
Ray.
How are you doing?
Great.
Splendid. This story that was in the news about the blood getting sloshed and sewn in the pub, I'm sure it'll give Carl McGiffin a few ideas, don't you think?
Yeah.
Yeah. I dread to think what will happen, you know?
Yeah, me too. I dread to think what's going to happen in the next half hour. Blimey. Seriously, the calls tonight have just been so staggeringly awful.
I know. And
it's been precious few of them as well. What is going on? What is actually on TV tonight? Is everybody decamped? Are they showing... you know what they showed the other night was...
Die Hard
with a Vengeance. What a fabulous film that is. Was I right? Somebody called me up and asked whether they should watch that film. I said it's an A number one, five star, thumbs up film. And it absolutely was. It doesn't get any better than that. It was great. It had Samuel L. Jackson in it. In it.
The Lift Man.
Yeah, he's the Lift Man. A couple of days ago, if you didn't hear, some guy from Glasgow called in and he said he got into a lift, he turned around, and who was also in the lift with him? The only other person in the lift, I would have abstained myself. It was Samuel L. Jackson. And what did he say to him? What did he say to that badass?
Whoa, are you? He said... Fourth floor,
yeah,
please.
Fourth floor, please. And Samuel L. Jackson turned around and said, do I look like the lift man to you? And he said it exactly like that, too.
Like James Brown.
Yeah, yeah.
Right.
And then what did they... ITV, God bless them. So they showed that one night, and then last night, Maverick. Great!
You reckon?
Isn't it? I tell you, I haven't seen it yet. I thought it got great reviews. It's got James Garner.
Well, he's great.
James Garner is the business.
Yeah.
And what's his name? The short Australian guy.
Mel Gibson.
Sounds like a good film to me. Do a lot of people get shot? Is it occasionally amusing? And do the good guys win? Yes. Well, what's wrong with that?
Well, it's just not...
But what is on tonight that we've got so few... First of all, so few calls, and second of all, they're all dire. The only good thing on tonight is Third Rock from the Sun.
That's only on for half an hour, isn't it?
Yeah, what, 25 minutes without adverts. And that's it. What the hell are people actually watching now? And don't tell me you're watching Animal Hospital, because I won't believe you. Rolf? Yeah. Of course, sick boy is known for rolfing in cabs. He's famous for it, which is why I call him sick boy. Here is a call in Banbury. Mike.
Hello, Nick.
Mike.
I don't know what's going on tonight.
Neither do I. This
maybe
is bizarre.
Maybe the world has ended.
Well, let's hope so.
Maybe it's just you and me.
Yeah.
But the state of TV generally, it's appalling. I mean, why do you think I'm listening to this? It's nothing on tonight.
It is incredible. Yeah. I mean, I know I go on about this a lot, but I don't think it's that you used to, you know, you look at history through, here they come again, rose-tinted glasses, and, you know, you have a tendency to forget all the bad bits and remember, you know, programs that you once loved. But I just don't think it's ever been this bad.
Well, if you're looking at homegrown television, there's nothing that is appealing. I mean, you mentioned the blockbuster movies. They're American, aren't they? Imported movies.
Yeah, there's firstly no British program, British-made program, that I would bother watching at all.
Well, Kev mentioned Fawlty Towers, but that's 20 years old.
Well, exactly. Fawlty Towers, it's like a beaker, it's like a flower sitting on a dung heap that is the BBC's schedule. And as I said before, the only decent program on both BBC channels today is Third Rock from the Sun, an American buy-in that actually should be sitting on Friday night on Channel 4. Yeah. That's where it would fit, right after Friends.
Well, Channel 4 is about the most creative channel there is at the moment.
By a long chalk.
I mean, I watch Channel 5 more than BBC One, and that's saying something, isn't it?
Well, now you really are getting out of control, mate. I think perhaps you've lost your mind.
Maybe I have, but have you seen the adverts on BBC One for the new BBC digital channel?
No.
It takes up the baton from where BBC One leaves off.
Oh, I mean, please.
What are they going to do?
God knows.
Make a documentary about how they make the Fly on the Wall documentary.
Yeah, undoubtedly.
Appalling, isn't it? And we're paying for this.
Yes. That's the bad thing. Now, you understand that is the only reason I criticise them is because I am forced to pay for it.
You've got no choice.
You know, when Sky started, everybody was saying, I vividly remember Muriel Gray on, it was probably the BBC, saying that you could go and go around your local estate and look for the flats with a dish on the outside, and it would indicate who your most stupid neighbours were. I vividly remember her saying that. And yet, I don't have Sky at home, so I would not know what tonight's schedule is. But I will bet you every penny that I've got in my pocket now that Sky One's schedule this evening beats the pants off BBC One. What would you like to bet? Would you like to bet me, Kev?
Well, absolutely not, because
I got 45 quid on me. I bet you.
No.
9 o'clock, The X-File.
Well, let me read it out. As I say, this is completely blind. I never look at Sky's listings, as I say, I don't have satellite. Here we go. From 6, again, Married with Children. What's that?
It's an American sitcom. Used to be quite funny, not as good as it was now.
Okay, well, we'll discount that. Dream Team.
Football soap.
Okay, a soap. Okay, well, they've all got soaps, right? So the Simpsons twice. Now that's pretty tough to beat.
There you go.
Then okay, well then now we go slide downhill a little. America's Dumbest Criminals, which is one of those. They had two of them on the BBC last night. One of them was I can't remember what it was. I can't be bothered to go and get the schedule, but it was one of those police camera action type of things. You know, we'll show you actual real life car crashes so you can enjoy them in the comfort of your own home. Like, huh? That's entertainment. No, I don't think so. So far, they're kind of even.
You've
right?
Two episodes of Friends.
Two episodes of Friends. Yeah. And then ER. Well, okay, they win. they win. I'm sorry, they win.
But if you take the full Sky package, you're talking like £300 a year, aren't you?
Probably. If you didn't have to pay for the BBC, then there would be £200 a year. But plus, you don't have to take the whole thing, because most people wouldn't want everything that comes with it.
It depends whether you want to give all your money to Mr. Murdoch or not, nice as he may be.
It doesn't. That's irrelevant. Who it's going to is completely irrelevant. What I'm concerned is what's coming out of my television.
Mm. It is appalling, though.
And,
absolutely dreadful.
And, you know, if you'd said this when the thing launched, if you'd said that the quality of the programmes on Sky would be better than the BBC, people would have laughed at you. In fact, today, if you say it now, people will still probably laugh at you until they go and check the schedules and find that, actually, hello, it's true. Unbelievable.
The thing is, I can't understand why the BBC cannot make decent programmes. They either buy them in or just spend you know, 50 grand making a cheap fly on the wall documentary.
It's staggering.
Yeah.
It's, what really staggers me is that I seem to be the only one who's saying this. I mean, no media commentators or people in Parliament, nobody else seems to be saying, wait a minute, the average night on BBC One is... like a fly on the wall thing in a hospital, if it's not that, it's a fly on the wall thing in a vet's practice. If it's not that, it's a fly on the wall thing where people change the decor of their room. And if it's not that, it's a damn cookery show. And it's like, this is the worst daytime television, but it's in the evening. And how come I'm the only person who's saying this? I don't understand.
There's a lot of snobbery, isn't there, in the press and media reporters about, oh, it's the BBC, it must be good. They've probably never watched it, though, have they?
Exactly. I think that's exactly it. This Chris Smith guy, the culture secretary, the reason that he has said this asinine rubbish at the Royal Television Society, I'll say it again, here's a quote from him. He said, the BBC must maintain its role as a high-quality, comprehensive public service broadcaster delivering distinctive and creative programs to the public.
And did everyone fall on the floor in hysterical laughter?
The only reason that a man could get up and say something as asinine as that is if he never watches television.
Well, they don't, do they? Politicians don't have time, do they?
Well, he's probably being taken out for dinner and, you know, wined and dined until he pukes. Yeah.
And don't let me get to the subject of BBC Radio. Who listens to
that? Yeah, well, okay, let's leave that well alone. Thanks a lot, mate. 0500 1053 89. And I really am genuinely surprised that there is not outrage, you know, in the papers and, you know, generally, because am I wrong about this? Am I going overboard?
Well, I seldom watch BBC One.
Exactly.
You pinpointed the reason why.
Yeah, but, exactly. I never watch BBC. I can't, honestly, my hand on my heart, the only thing I ever watch on BBC One is The X-Files. Which they cannot take any credit for at all.
But that said, most of Sky One's programming is buy-ins anyway.
That's irrelevant. I don't care if it's a buy-in. All I'm interested in is the quality of what comes out the screen. Also, amazingly, America beats the pants off British television now. You know, we have this... It's kind of like the malaise that this country suffers from generally. You know, we have this opinion that's way above our station. You know, like we still rule the world. Like it's all still in the Commonwealth. Like, well, you know, we rule the waves. We don't. We're a tiny, insignificant, largely socially backward country that nobody gives a rat's arse about outside of the confines of this country. They don't care. Who, you know, in Europe, who's America going to suck up to? Germany. Not us. And we, you know, prattle on about, oh, this is a special relationship. They're like this to all, you know, all countries. What are they going to do? Come and, like, blow raspberries at us? No. And we still have this notion about television. You know, we cling on to this, British television is the best in the world. Lies. That's just rubbish. Name me 10 great quality British television programs. I bet you can't name 5. In a whole week, could you name 5? I'll make it really easy for you. 7 days of continuous broadcasting, can you name 5 world-class television programs? I bet you cannot. I bet you £45 in my pocket right now, you can't.
Well, that's easy. You've got that thing with Ainsley Harriott.
My whole notion in a nutshell. That's it, in a nutshell. I mean, do you think that American television is awash with great quality British imports? No, it isn't. Is British television awash with great quality American imports? Absolutely. They're the funniest shows. They're the shows with the highest quality of production values. You know, they just beat the pants off us. The notion that British television is the best in the world is so out of date, and people must be so kind of blind to it that they must... It's like you can't see the wood for the trees. You just have this notion. And nobody's actually said, well, wait a minute, that's rubbish. I think we'd better think it out again. Take a look. Wrong. We might be better than Australia, but let's face it, that ain't saying much.
Hold it now.
Nick Abbott.
The sound of an invasion.
Ready?
Email Nick now. nabbott@talk-radio.co.uk.
No.
Here's one in Horsham. Hello, Colin.
Oh, hello, yeah.
Well, how do you spell asinine for a start? I'm looking it up in my dictionary. I can't find it.
Two S's, two N's.
Two S's, two N's. Well, it's too complicated. I'll put my dictionary away. Listen, anyway, the reason I phoned was because I took the bait and you wanted someone to ring up about, what was that awful film? Die Hard with a Vengeance.
No, you must be thinking of another film. That's not an awful film. That's a fabulous film.
No. The reason you said that was... Listen now. The reason you said that was a good film was purely to get a response so people would ring up and tell you what crap it was. And I know that you know it's crap.
How can you say that?
Well, exactly. I knew you'd agree. But now, just as I was turning my radio down before I... talking to your guy... you actually said that the best thing on TV tonight was
Third Rock from the Sun. Yeah.
And I completely agree with you on that point, because his name's John Lithgow, isn't it?
Yes.
Absolute fantastic comedy actor. He's done some serious stuff.
Well, how can you get that so right, Colin, and yet get the Die Hard thing so wrong?
Okay.
Did you watch the whole film?
Well, you know, I watched...
No.
No, mate.
See, no. How can you comment on a movie?
Well, I watched
it. It's like the Mary Whitehouse tendency. Whatever. I didn't watch it, but it's awful. You should give Mary a ring, Colin.
Really,
she'd love to talk to you. She'll probably say, well, I haven't talked to him, but I don't like him.
No, but anyway, well done. You spoiled a bad movie, and it was well done because it was absolutely awful.
But despite the fact that you didn't see it, you hated it.
No,
is that right?
I did see it. No, I didn't.
You just got through telling me you didn't see it.
No, I didn't see all of it.
Well, okay, didn't see all of it.
I switched over to watch the adverts on Channel 4 for a bit of entertainment.
You are so wrong, Colin. That's a working. What kind of film do you ordinarily like? One of these white linen.
I had this in mind, actually. I thought you'd ask that. And the kind of film. Have you seen Jean de Florette?
You're one of those foofy fonfy guys who only like movies that come from China with subtitles.
Well, you should go
hang out with Barry Norman, because he's the same. 0500 1053 89. It's a freak all. You should go see that movie Elizabeth. I saw that last night.
Oh, did you really?
Yeah, it's all right.
That's with the footballer, isn't it? So
Cantona, yeah.
Was he in Kickboxer?
He looks exactly the same, dressed up in Elizabethan costume.
He does with his core up.
Yeah, he is exactly the same guy.
Is he any good in it?
You expect him to take...
Maybe he should have worn a frill for Man United.
You expect him to take a penalty at any moment.
Is he any good, though?
But it's hard to tell because he doesn't speak English in it. He speaks French, and he has presence, certainly, but he doesn't do very much. He doesn't have a big part.
Right, well...
At least that's what they say in the changing rooms.
Sure, Elizabeth would disagree. But anyway, yeah, but look, the reason I phoned up was because of that god-awful monstrosity, Die Hard with a Vengeance. I mean, it's absolute it's mind-numbing.
Wrong is the incorrect answer, but thanks for playing our game, Colin. Here's one in Manchester. Hello, Roger.
Hello.
Roger.
Hiya, yeah. You talking about satellite before, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I've got a satellite system, and I consider myself quite intelligent. No, the thing is, I don't watch Sky at all. I think it's good, but it's well overpriced, and I wouldn't touch it with the barge.
Wait a minute, you've got a satellite system, but what do you watch?
Well, I've got a multi-satellite system.
Well, so what do you watch?
Well, I watch, let me see, well, can I mention names?
I'm asking you to.
Right, okay then, TV 1000, Canal Plus Norway, Canal Plus Denmark.
You are joking. You watch Danish television?
Yeah, I know, but it's all in English. It's all big films. It's like Sky movies, for instance.
Yeah.
But they're all in widescreen, yeah? And I've not got a widescreen.
Right, so you can get both boobs on the screen at the same time. Yeah, I think we know exactly where you're coming from, mate. Here's one in Leeds. Hello, David.
Hiya. I've got a satellite, and I've had it now about 12 months. And the beauty of satellite TV, as far as I'm concerned, is the fact I have the choice to spend my money.
Precisely.
I don't have that choice. I've got to.
I know.
God says I've got to buy that.
It's ridiculous.
I don't want it, to be honest, mate.
And I wouldn't miss it. You know what? I would not miss it at all.
But I do think when you get on about comedies and American comedies being better than ours, I think you're wrong there. I don't think anything... Open All Hours on tonight on Sky. You can't beat things like that.
Open All Hours? Well, the thing with Ronnie Barker?
Yeah.
Well, you might smile once in a half-hour programme.
Oh, you must be joking. I like Third Rock from the Sun, like you mentioned. Yeah, I think that is quite good. But there's that and The Prince of Bel-Air, and that is it. American comedy is like, oh, God.
Have you ever heard of Friends and Frasier and Larry and Sanders and all that good stuff?
Of garbage. Oh, God's earth.
The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, that you hold up as a great comedy show? How old are you, David? Like 13?
At least it's a bit amusing and a bit light-hearted. Frasier's just old. It's just like Coronation Street, but with Americans. It's just so drab, Frasier. What? Third Rock from the Sun's good.
I'm confused. I think the first couple of series of Frasier are among the cleverest, most intelligently written sitcoms that have ever been shown in this country. In the last series, towards the end, it kind of got a bit slapstick. It was the same thing over and over again. It was Frasier's inability to get sex, which was kind of a little annoying. Only because you knew the quality of what went before. But they're rerunning the show from the beginning, and it's just it's great. I mean, it's just, I think it's the sharpest written sitcom I've seen from the States. It's wonderful. That Larry Sanders, which we're not getting anymore,
unless you have satellite.
So depressed. Here's one. Oh, yeah, unless you've got a mate who's got satellite who might be able to tape it for you once in a while, Kev.
Yeah
that, where's my David Letterman tapes?
It's...
You bastard.
It's, well, just for that, you're not getting it then. No, it is forthcoming. I just want to give you, you know, a full tape of them rather than, you know, just like one on the tape.
Yeah, here's another, I'm gonna.
No, but think about it. I mean, it locks up my entire satellite system and my video for an hour at night for you. And it just means that...
It's from midnight onwards. You are asleep.
Sometimes.
Well, if you're not asleep, then you're doing the heavy breathing.
Oh, no, please.
On your own in a lot of cases.
Oh, now, you're just lashing out now, aren't you? You're lashing out.
No, but I will do later.
Oh, okay. Oh, yes.
Oh, no. I haven't played that in a good long while. Where is it?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
Could she sound any more enthused?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
And the good thing is that the man and the woman you just heard are married.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yes.
Beautiful. It's at home with the Adams family. Here's a call in... Are we going for a break now?
Let's go for a break now.
Okay, we're going to go away in order to come back again. Well, as you just heard, tomorrow is English Day on Talk Radio. Bill and Claire will be kicking things off on The Breakfast Show with Ian Dury.
Wow.
Yeah. And Michael York. Going to be talking about what being English means to them. Scott will be tackling the English class system with the help of Sir Peregrine Worsthorn, Peter Hitchens, and Jeremy Paxman. Lorraine is going to be looking at the English sense of humour with the comedy writer Barry Took and Dad's Army star Bill Pertwee. Peter Deely is going to be asking, how do you sell England? If we could put it in a bottle and distill it. Oh dear. What would be the essence of Englishness? Then there's a gap in the schedule. Until we reach Mike Allen, whose guest will be the perfect English gentleman, Patrick McNee. That is John Steed from The Avengers. So join us for English Day with IKEA tomorrow, right here on Talk Radio. And that gap in the schedule is me.
With Dress Down Friday.
Yeah.
A celebration of English...
I am a big hole.
Punk.
Oh, I guess it is a celebration of Englishness. Yeah. Here's one in London. Hello, Chris.
Hello, Nick.
Chris.
Hello, I was wondering if you could help me with my graphic design homework. I've got to research I've got to research into the graphic design used in the punk era. And I was wondering if you would know some of the typefaces, you know, designers of the typefaces and the names of the typefaces used in the punk
era. Who's the famous guy who did the Sex Pistols covers?
I know the one you mean, the design, but I don't know who it's called.
Right. I can't remember what it's called either.
Do you know
I don't have any Pistols singles in with me today. Let me see if I've, No, can't help you out there, I'm afraid. I've got some that we're going to record for tomorrow.
Right.
But not that particular one. So no is the answer to that question. But there's many and various books on the subject. Go and look one up.
Yeah.
Go to a library, Chris, for once in your life, crying out loud. You're a student. You ever been to a library?
Yeah.
You have? Yeah. Go good. Was it just to go to the loo because you were caught short? Or was you learning in there and everything?
Yeah. You're still taking the zinc.
Still taking the zinc, because I'm losing so much of it. Yes, I am. Thanks a lot, Chris. 0500 1053 89. It's a free call. Here's one in Bromley. Charlie.
Hello, Nick. Listen, mate, you've really wear me up. I don't know you very well, and can I... Have you got Sky yourself, personally?
No.
Then how can you say that you... What's wrong with the BBC? It's a great program. It's a great television company. It makes great programs. Do you want me to run some off to you?
Yeah, go ahead.
What was the bet?
Pardon?
What was the bet you offered a minute ago?
It was £45. The bet's been done. I won.
What, Tomorrow's World? Not a great program?
No.
What's wrong with that?
It's adverts for products that are about to hit the shelves.
Done in a very professional way.
Oh, so what?
It's not done like ITV do it, like Colton, is it?
Done in a professional way, some smiling presenters reading off an auto cue and telling you about products that you probably never will be able to buy. So what?
What are you talking about? You won't never be able to buy. I watched it in 1969 and then I was flying on Concorde.
Is this what you're saying? That they used to be good in 1969?
No, I'm saying that they're still good up until today. Anyway, let's move on. What about men behaving badly? What's wrong with that?
It was a buy-in from ITV.
So what? They recognised its potential. It's a fantastic programme.
No, ITV recognised its potential.
What, and sold it on to the BBC?
Yeah, they nicked it, or bought it, or whatever. It's nothing that they can, claim credit for.
Okay, you don't agree with that one. What about Match of the Day?
Match of the Day, edited highlights of what was on Sky Live. You are making this up, Charlie.
I'm not making it up, it's great. For people who haven't got Sky like me, who won't have it in the house and never will.
And there it is in a nutshell. For people who haven't got Sky, tune to the BBC because you'll be able to pick up the crumbs off the floor underneath the table. Could he be any clearer than that? Here's one in, another one in London. Hello, Anthony.
Hi. Men behaving badly, awfully poor show, not funny at all.
Well, I didn't think so, no.
Right. I actually phoned you about two things. I don't know if this subject interests you or not, but about three or four weeks ago, I watched something on television called Lost Civilizations.
The three-part series that was on Channel 4.
Exactly so, yeah. And something about that occurred to me that I don't think was mentioned. The point at which they were dated is probably at the civilization's zenith. And that causes a great deal of consternation as far as dates are concerned. But
I'm not understanding what you just said.
Right, the point at which these civilizations were dated...
10,500 BC.
Right. But how many thousands of years did they actually take to get to the point?
Well, exactly.
So, you know, you actually have to look at figures far behind that.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think the suggestion in the documentary was there was some cataclysmic event at around 10,500 BC that forced them into... No, he didn't actually say it precisely, but I think the implication was that forced them into boats spanning the Earth... to set up sites, shrines, whatever you like, at predetermined positions on the planet in order to pass on wisdom to subsequent generations.
Well, yes, I mean, but that's, that takes an awful lot of organisation, doesn't it?
Yeah, tremendous. I mean, obviously, if he has a point, then if there's any, validity to the argument that he was proposing... then, basically, we know nothing.
Yeah, right.
Not just the guy who just called, but all of us.
Mm-hmm. The other point I was going to make, and I shan't go into it deeply...
You haven't got time to.
But amongst you, you have a gargantua who throws down bones and sees the future for everyone. I mean, you must know who he is. I mean, this guy is phenomenal.
Kev.
No, it's not Kev. It's not Kev. He's part of your team. He's Russell. I mean, what Russell does is amazing.
Okay, well, if you say so, it's Russell Grant.
It's Russell Grant.
Check him out on Sunday. He'll be hanging out with Yuri Spoonbender, probably. Or maybe not. I don't know. Whoa, it's almost 9 o'clock. You don't know.